and of speaking on what saith the Scriptures, it is our great joy to again be able to bring to you a message from the Word of God. We read a few verses in the 12th chapter of Mark's Gospel, beginning at verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other than He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. Here we have an example of where a man was almost a Christian, almost saved, almost in the kingdom of God, the realm which is entered only by the new birth. There is much that is commendable about this scribe, but it is a sad story, for apparently he never came the short remaining distance which separated him from the sphere of untold blessing, the kingdom of God. Unfortunately, this man has a multitude of followers today. Perhaps some of our listeners are in his class. You are near, very near to being saved. God grant that through this message you may see your danger and by faith step across the line which separates you from the greatest of blessings. Let us observe in the first place wherein lay his nearness to the kingdom. He had an acquaintance with God's word. Being a scribe, he had doubtless copied by hand much or perhaps all of the Old Testament scriptures. He knew their content. He may be an illustration to us of those who have been reared in Christian homes, who have heard the Bible read daily, who have attended Sunday school and church services. Very different is the condition of such from the heathen who have neither seen a Bible nor have heard its message of salvation. Much greater is the responsibility of those who have some acquaintance with the Bible, and more severe will be their judgment than of those who have not been so privileged. The scribe's nearness to the kingdom lay next in the fact that he had an apprehension of the spiritual teachings of God's word. He saw the vast contrast between ritual and reality, between offering sacrifices and truly loving God with all his heart, strength, mind, and soul, and his neighbor as himself. Some read the Bible but do not absorb its message, hence remain in ignorance of divine things. How is it with you, my listening friend? We next notice that this scribe assented to the truth of God's word. He not only read the scriptures, but he firmly believed them, recognizing that their doctrines were indeed the truth. He was not in the class of the destructive critic or the infidel who disbelieves the Bible and would delight to destroy it if he could. But absence of antagonism is not the equivalent of accepting the Bible. The fourth element in this man's nearness to the kingdom of God lay in his genuine admiration for the Lord Jesus. He was not like many of his fellow religious leaders who hated, despised, sought to defeat and destroy the Blessed One. But again, admiration is not acceptance or adoration. One other element of his nearness lay in his aspiration for better things. He was evidently not satisfied with his present manner of life. He saw something in the teachings of the Lord Jesus which challenged his soul and led him to desire the better part. He was not like many who were content to continue in their sin. Again, we must remind you that aspiration is not the same as attainment. And so we see that in these five ways, he was very near to the kingdom of God. We will now in the second place consider what may have kept him from entering the kingdom. And they are things which may be keeping some of you, dear listeners, from entering the kingdom of God, from being saved. First, he may have had mistaken ideas as he may have mistaken nearness for entrance. Many are thus deluded today. Some fancy that the administration of baptism, the joining of a church, or the taking of communion places them in God's kingdom. Hence, they go no farther. There are doubtless many in Noah's day who were not very far from the ark, but they were not inside the ark, where safety alone was found. Abner was not far from the city of refuge, where he would have been safe from the avenger of blood, yet he was slain at the gate of Hebron. He might as well have been 1,000 miles from it. May none of you make this tragic mistake. Then again, the scribe may have had an inadequate sense of his own sin. Vast numbers are in this class. Having been reared in a Christian atmosphere, having been kept from the baser forms of sin, they have little sense of sin. You will often notice fond parents who see no evil in their children, hence are not concerned about their salvation. Such forget the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They judge sin from a human and not the divine standpoint. A third reason which may have kept the scribe in our lesson from entering the kingdom was that he desired to continue a little longer in his sin before entering the kingdom of God. This is a very subtle temptation. The sinner craves just one more indulgence, one more fling, one more good time. Good intentions are substituted for a definite decision for Christ. Beware of this mistake. It has sent countless thousands to a lost eternity. Again, this man may have been unwilling to humble himself before Jesus Christ. At that time, Christ was indeed despised and rejected of men. The religious leaders called him an impostor, a false prophet, a friend of publicans, and an emissary of the devil himself. The scribe may have shrunk from falling at the feet of this despised teacher, however much he may have admired him. He may also have feared the scorn and contempt of his associates. What would the priests and elders think of him? They might cast him out of the synagogue, deprive him of his livelihood as a scribe. Perhaps he counted the cost and considered the price of becoming a Christian too great. Having considered wherein lay his nearness to the kingdom and the reasons which may have kept him from entering it, we will observe in the last place the great danger of remaining not far from the kingdom of God. Nearness to the kingdom increases responsibility. He had great light, but one step, and he would have been in the kingdom. Much greater is the guilt of such than that of those who have never been privileged to hear the gospel. Being not far from the kingdom promotes a feeling, sometimes a false security. The sinner thinks, I can be saved any moment I desire. I can board the Ark of Safety on a moment's notice. This is a most clever and effective snare of the devil. As we previously said, nearness is not entrance. To be near the kingdom and not to enter ensures eternal damnation. Almost is lost. A stone arch bridge was almost completed. All that remained was placing the keystone. The builders decided to wait until morning to finish their task. That night a terrific storm wrecked the keystoneless bridge, and all was lost. Think of a ship being wrecked at the entrance of the harbor. Consider the tragedy of a soul being plunged into hell, who for months or years had been not very far from the kingdom of God. Finally, for one who has been not far from the kingdom, to be forever lost will greatly intensify that person's eternal sufferings. One thing you will not lose in the next world, my friend, is your memory. You will ever and forever remember how near you were to being saved. You will remember that you might have escaped the lake of fire by one act of faith. You may recall with bitterness the words of the poet, "Of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been." You will remember this program, in which you were faithfully warned of the danger of being not far from the kingdom of God. So near to the kingdom, yet what dost thou lack? So near to the kingdom, what keepeth thee back? Renounce every idol, though dear it may be, and come to the Savior, now pleading for thee. Yes, my friend, turn now to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross to save you from your sins, and to make it possible for you to be not merely near, but inside his eternal kingdom. Beside this very moment, do not postpone the matter any longer, for there is danger and death in delay. We would be so glad to hear from any who have accepted the Savior as a result of this program. Write and tell us the good news that we may rejoice with you, and perhaps give you some help in the future Christian life. Address George M. Landis in care of the station to which you are now listening, and I will be glad to send you a free booklet, God's Good News. The address again, George M. Landis, in care of the station to which you are now listening. This is George M. Landis speaking. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.